Lemon Twigs. Ich liebe dieses Lied. Misa, love that song. The Lemon Twigs sind bei mir im Studio. Sie haben es doch noch geschafft in die Flux FM Büroräumlichkeiten am Mittwochnachmittag. Heute Abend spielen sie im Franz Club und jetzt sind die beiden Brüder, die die Band ausmachen, bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die Vorteile einer musikalischen Früherziehung. Die haben sie nämlich genossen. Wir sprechen über das jahrelange Studium von Beatles-Platten, das den Sound der Band ja durchaus hörbar prägt. Wir finden heraus, warum es 2017 gar nicht so viele Bands gibt, die sich an diese großen 60s, 70s Arrangements herantrauen. Wir sprechen über Musical-Pläne, Konzeptplatten und demokratische Prozesse beim Schreiben von Songs. Hier sind Brian und Michael D'Addario. Hello again.
Hello.
So good that you've made it to our studio. How are you doing today?
Good. I woke up approximately 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I'm not here to have a great time.
No.
30 minutes ago?
Yeah, I think so.
He's here. He's not just physically here, he's here mentally as well.
Mentally, yeah. More so than if I was up for hours.
Cool. Congratulations on Do Hollywood. It's one of our favorite records. It's been out for a few months now. You've been working on that record with Jonathan Rado.
Yeah.
Who is with Foxygen and who's a brilliant musician as well. Not only a great producer, but a brilliant musician as well.
Yeah.
How important was that for you to get a musician into the studio with you? Because I think when you record the Lemon Twigs music, it might be helpful if you understand the arrangements and if you understand the plan the band has had.
Absolutely. Definitely. I mean, that's kind of why we felt so comfortable going forward with Rado, was because we loved his music so much, you know.
But you hadn't met him before.
No, we hadn't.
Well, I mean, we met him one time. We went to coffee with him, and then we decided to We all decided to do the record together, but it's like basically me and Brian did most of the playing on the record, and it was like because we liked his music so much and because we liked his record so much, we just trusted him all completely with the tones and everything like that.
Yeah, and the production.
I've read that there's a certain drum sound that you argued about with him for a while, but then after the LP has been put out, you were totally fine with the drums.
Well,
you realized that he was right.
There was no argument about it, because if I would have brought it up, would have, you know, definitely changed it. Yeah, in these words.
Uh-huh.
But I think I kind of hung on to it, and then I told him after the song was like recorded, ooh, and you know that drum sounds pretty MIDI or something like that.
Yeah. But then it was a big problem because he also loved that drum sound.
Okay. Yeah.
So like Rado loved that drum sound, thought it was the best drum sound he ever got, and Brian didn't like it.
But yeah, as you said, it what's on the recording is definitely that sound, and I really like it now.
Yeah, you know? And I find it interesting that you've kind of like found your perfect partner in crime with Jonathan Rado, because I mean, you just told me that you've met him before once for a coffee, and then this record comes out, and I've read that we would say that he's a friend now. So
yeah.
Something happened during those two weeks, or how long did you record? I think it was 12 days or something.
Yeah, like 12 days. Yeah, yeah. It was. You know, we couldn't have asked for someone that we had better chemistry with, you know.
Yeah.
It was just like working with the same kind of process as it is working with the two of us, but with a third person there that elevated it with his knowledge of the studio and stuff. So
famous brother from another mother, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was there. You guys have played music since you were kids. Your parents took you to concerts. Your father is a very good musician as well, who taught you all about the Beatles. I think he's a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the fact that one says that if you want to be perfect at a language, you have to learn the language as a little kid, so the melody and stuff, everything is in your head, and you don't have to think about the language anymore. Would you say that this is the fact with a musical kind of language too? Because when I listen to your music, it sounds fucking effortless. It really sounds as if you were just, you know? I mean, I know that there's a little bit of effort in there, and that you compose your songs and you try before you get into the studio, but it sounds like you know the language. Would you say that's an important advantage to have parents like yours?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's a huge impact on the way that we make music, just naturally, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, like I'm saying naturally, you just said it's was instilled in us when we were little kids.
Yeah.
I think that that's how I would do it if I was raising a young child. I think everybody who has kids should put instruments in their hands when they're very, very young.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe books or something.
Yeah. Probably books. That was the thing that, I mean,
it doesn't mean that you don't talk to those babies anymore if you put an instrument in
their hands. Yeah, absolutely. You got to talk to them. They have to learn an actual language as well as the language of music. But yeah.
No, because the brain makes so many connections when you're playing the guitar or when you're playing the drums. There's so many things that are happening in your brain. I really think that if you learn these things as a young kid, it's helpful.
It was so helpful for
the future as a musician or maybe as a physician as well or something else. I think these connections in the brain,
yeah,
they are super useful. I've read that there are certain rules that you guys use when it comes to composing new music for the Lemon Twigs. There's something like a democratic recipe that's happening.
A little bit.
Please explain a little bit about that.
The only rule really is, you know, like if I'm writing something and Brian has input on it, I still get the final say because it's my idea that I came up with first. And it's the same thing with him.
Yeah.
Right.
There might be an acceptable idea of his that you incorporate into your composition.
Yeah. But it's pretty much like, unless we started it like pretty much together and it's a 50-50 thing, then it's not going to get, because we find that, you know, what if like somebody who, like a great solo artist, what if they had somebody, you know, tugging on their shirt? You know, like what if they had somebody telling them, stopping them from doing this and filtering their ideas?
Yeah.
Then it's like, you know, we'd be better off doing it alone. So that's why we try to step back from each other a little bit.
Yeah, but at the same time, it must be a huge advantage to have a brother with you who knows you very well, who knows about your thoughts and about the things where you're kind of like sensitive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a good thing. And then you mirror each other just a little bit. You don't necessarily go like, oh, this is bullshit, I wouldn't do it like that. But I think you kind of like, without talking, you kind of like feel each other, if you like each other's music.
Yeah, absolutely. And we try to like, you know, appeal to the other one. If he's got a song, I don't necessarily tell him the next place that I think it could go that I would like more. Yeah. I sort of have an idea that I think would appeal to him.
You're trying to surprise each other a little bit.
Try to, you know, everybody wants their parts to get used. Yeah. So try to do something that he's going to use, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good. I think it's a good way to get to a certain kind of result that has a certain quality and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just we utilize each other's skill sets for our own
means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complimenting each other's sentences as well.
Yes.
Let's listen to another song of yours. This one is the ballad, maybe, or the record is called As Long As We're Together.
Yes.
And we talk a bit more and then we give away tickets for tonight's show.
Okay, oh, nice.
Cool. Und die Fans da draußen der digitalen Gesellschaft, auch ihr müsst nicht mehr lange warten. Wir haben das Gespräch mit Volker Tripp, in dem es heute um Adblocker gehen wird, ein bisschen verschoben. 10 Minuten, 20 Minuten. Das wird auch noch stattfinden in der 16 Uhr Stunde. The Lemon Twigs mit As Long As We're Together, 16 Uhr und 21 Minuten. Die beiden Brüder Brian und Michael Dario sind immer noch bei mir im Studio. Wir werden noch ein Lied spielen und Tickets verlosen. Und dann ist Volker Tripp auch schon dran, der vor der Türe wartet, um seine Themen für die digitale Gesellschaft hier unterzubringen. Vorher aber noch mal ein bisschen Music Talk hier auf Flux FM. Brian und Michael sind immer noch im Studio. Now, you are not only talented musicians, but you also do have a certain work ethic, because I found out today that you have already written material for two upcoming records, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you do not only have the compositions ready, but you do have a plan on how these albums are going to sound and what you're going to do production-wise, and that this one album is going to be a concept album.
Yeah.
How important is being ahead of things for you guys when it comes to working creatively? Because some people do like working creatively under pressure, but you don't seem to.
To be honest, it's not important at all for me to be ahead of the, you know, ahead of what I'm going to do. It's really just that, you know, there's so much time to think when you're touring and everything, and there's not a lot of time to do things. So it's like you just get backed up with ideas, mm-hmm. like so many ideas and no way to carry them out. So basically we're just behind, you know, okay. I mean, our actions are behind our thoughts uh-huh. and stuff. So,
yeah, it's, we just end up writing a lot of, songs whenever we're home.
We end up writing a lot of songs, and then when we record the record, we don't want to do it sporadically. We want to do it all at once.
Okay,
so then
yeah,
it's
sure.
like, it's like, do I record this or do I wait mm-hmm. for the opportunity to record everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's like when we write a song, it might be like with this record that we just did, we just kind of like wrote these songs and like put every single influence and thing that we loved about different yeah. types of music into the
you
record.
You don't hide your idols on this record, right? One can
clearly feel
who had been yeah. influencing
yeah.
the band.
But also like a bunch of different genres.
Yeah, this
stuff.
Was very...
And I think that we like in the future, like we're writing songs that are more focused, and like the songs that kind of go with each other are kind of leading to a single kind of... idea mm. and stuff.
Yeah, I like, you know, we're not going to be able to really like, and we don't really want to, but have like a singular sound, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I really do like that with a lot of artists, like, you know, my favorite artists, like, you know, Lou Reed and yeah. You know, even though he's gone through phases, he's yeah. got like a singular sort of sound or something, but we, I sort of feel like to at least do that within an album is a good
yeah.
thing. Like Foxygen does that
yeah.
all the time. Like yeah. their new record has got a sound. It's different than their last record.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it might be the difference between a sound and a sound philosophy, because you can basically keep a sound philosophy but change your sound. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Right.
You just keep the idea of how to get there, and then but the sound ultimately maybe changing.
Yeah, but yeah, the same personality is
yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
Lou Reed's got his yeah. glam phase, whatever, and then he's got...
But he was still, it was still feelable.
Yeah, but
Lou Reed, kind
yeah,
of.
Still like yeah,
yeah.
that
yeah,
attitude.
Another thing that I find interesting is that your music always seems like a perfect combination of jams and written music. Do you actually jam a lot, or
no,
are all
of
the jammed parts written before?
Yeah, those were all. I mean, on this record, it's not. There's no jamming
cool.
really. It's
I thought so.
Yeah,
I thought so.
It's all like you know,
it'd
be
like
closer to prog than
yeah.
jam rock, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's like, that's like the effortlessness that I was talking about. Because I think to be able to write a piece of music that sounds like a jam, you really, there had to be a lot of jams in your past, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there were some jams to be had
yeah.
by us.
So let's look in the future real quick. You guys have already composed new material. You've been talking about a concept album. When I was looking back real quick, once more, one realizes that you both are experienced actors. You've worked with super famous people like Michelle Pfeiffer and stuff. So I was thinking maybe they should go for the whole package and for like a Hard Day's Night movie something.
Yeah.
So do you have plans for that? Would that be an idea that works for the Lemon Twigs?
One day.
Yeah, we definitely want to do something with our next record. Like do like a film of it. But we want to do it probably later than... like in years down the road after we've done more records, mm-hmm. you know, because we want to, first of all, like document all the stuff that we have right now as quickly as we can, and kind of catch up so that we wow. maybe have like no material when we go in to make another record, you know, so
yeah.
that it's really fresh when we tour it and stuff.
Oh, it's interesting. And then, I mean, there's film material of you guys from like 2010 where you jam with your father. There's so many
yeah.
there's so many sources that you could basically use. It's so great. I want to tell you that I'm gonna buy tickets for the Lemon Twigs movie as soon as it's coming out.
I'm gonna be
the greatest fan of that movie. I'm gonna promote the hell out of it.
Thanks. Let's promote it before it even comes out.
Yeah, there's gonna be a Lemon Twigs movie. Someday.
Yeah.
And you're gonna love it. Jetzt müssen wir aber erstmal auf das Konzert hinweisen, heute Abend im Franz Club, für das wir noch Tickets verlosen dürfen. Wer da jetzt schnell ist, der steht auf der Liste. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000 9000, die Lemon Twigs spielen heute Abend im Franz Club und stellen dort nochmal ihre neue Platte Do Hollywood vor. Ein Meisterwerk, das man sich zulegen sollte. wenn man sich für gute Musik interessiert. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000 9000. Heute Abend spielen The Lemon Twigs im Franz Club. And you're gonna switch instruments, right? It's gonna be half-half again? Like,
yeah.
Half of the setlist is your music and half of the setlist is your music. And then you're gonna appear from behind the drums and stuff?
Cool, that's what'll happen.
Cool! I'm looking forward to that, and I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show, for the rest of your plans. You know where we are right now, so you just visit us the next time you're in Berlin.
Yeah, all
right. We talk a bit more.
Well, cool. Thank you so much.
Brian Michael, thank you guys for the music and for visiting us. Bye-bye.
Bye.